But you know, the Lord really dealt with my heart and my wife's heart, particularly on this elders retreat. We had, in our old life, an aversion to dancing. Now, I met that girl when she was 15 and I was 16. And so we've known each other for a long time. And we were very unsaved together for quite a few years. And the one thing we never did was dance. We had a total, complete aversion to it. Even as wild hippies who took about every drug under the sun, the one thing we despised and would not do was dance. But God did something in our hearts on that elders retreat. I'm so thankful for it, because in our minds and hearts, we used to look at people and dance and thought it was the wildest thing in the world. Foolish, you know, exposing yourself to others like that, we had no part of it. But God began to deal on me at this elders retreat right from the very first night. Now, something very interesting happened to me, and I didn't realize a deception that the devil played upon me until some from Seattle began to share Friday night. See, as the men began to dance, in my mind, I thought they had been dancing like this for months. I thought Mike and George and all these others, I thought they were dancing like this for months. And the devil began to come down upon me and say, "See, you're not free. You can't dance like that." See, I thought I had moved around a little bit, you know. And I guess like Don, I felt in front of the church, I just wanted to let loose. I wanted to do something. And I felt willing to do it, but I just didn't know what to do. And I always felt like I've given my all to Jesus to love Him. I've really endeavored to do that. Just to love Him, no matter what I'm doing. God has blessed me with a new talent in order to play the piano. And I've been just worshiping and praising the Lord in that fashion. And I've really endeavored just to give Him everything. Just to receive songs in the Spirit after service and so on. I've been so hungry just to give Him everything. But there was another step that He had for me. But as these men began to dance, I know it was the devil, came down upon me and began to say, "You can't dance. Well, look at George. Look at Mike. Look at Mark Yokers. They've been, you know." And the Lord began to deal with my heart and began to say to me, this is something you might not be able to relate to because you're not me. I had always considered myself a clod. You know, not a clod of dirt, but the kind that can't move around very well. And I really don't know why, but I had. I'm athletic. I've got good eye-hand coordination to play play baseball and football. I was willing to run into anything, you know. But I ran well, but there was this, I really believe, a demonic deception that came upon me. I'll tell you why. As we were standing there and I was watching this, that the lie began to come to my mind. The Lord began to deal with me saying, "You're not a clod," in those very words. And He began to explain to me, "Now look, you can play all of these different instruments. I play about 4 or 5 different instruments. You could not have the coordination and the rhythm in order to do that if you're an absolute total clod." And see, I had had problems, and I think it was based on insecurity, not that I'm going to go seek this, but I could never water ski well and never, you know, go on a mountain slope. I always gave up real quick. I thought, "Well, you know, you're a clod. I'm not going to take this to go endeavor to do that. I've got some other things I want to start doing in that realm and that truth that the Lord has set me free in." But He began to tell me, "You're not a clod. You can play these instruments. You must have rhythm. You can't, you know, you can't not be totally, absolutely unrhythmic and so on if you can do all these different things." Now that truth was there, but no action yet. And then my sweet, 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 precious wife came up to me just very gently and said, and this wouldn't have meant anything to me if the Lord had not just spoken this to my heart. She said, "Honey, you're not a clod. You can do what they're doing." Oh my. Oh,
the fourth best marriage place in the church is still open if you want to apply for it.
We're not on a rating system in Kansas, so. But the Lord began to just deal with my heart, and now this was right here, you know, and I had to deal with it. And I felt so pressured. I mean, by, you know, this situation, I don't mean a demonic pressure. I felt much like in the old chapel, when I came, I had long hair, and they were talking to me about the Holy Spirit. I looked at all these people, I thought, "Oh, they're so holy, you know, and they're speaking in tongues, and I can't do that." And I was saved. And they began to say, "You want to pray for the Holy Spirit?" And I said, "No, I don't think, I'll wait until I get back to New York. I'll wait. And then I found myself, I just knew I had to take this step or I might miss it. And so I went up with them and I began to just kneel down, didn't know what to do. They raised their hands, so I raised my hands. They began to praise and say hallelujah, so I did. And then the power of God came down upon me. I began to burst forth into tongues and I got up. My, it was a different situation. But that was the exact same thing that happened. And I felt like, "Lord, I'm going to miss something." I felt like, I don't know how to say it, you know, when it's just like, it's just right there, you and Him, and you better make the decision or you just might miss it. And I knew that. And I've never consciously ever said no to the Lord when it has been that clear. I have never. And I kept telling, my mind said, yeah, I'm sure, which sure was a spirit. No, just wait, just wait. My mind, I kept saying, you've never said no to the Lord. You've never said no to him. You've never said no. You've never said no. And so then in my mind, you know, I wanted to just check my heart. I kept saying, Lord, I'm not going to do this because my wife told me. And, my heart was just getting pure before the Lord. And I was just saying, Lord, here goes. I began to dance, but really not much at all. But I began to just spin around gently, just around the floor there. And didn't really have a truth that, you know, Don shared something. Might not know it really set me free, but that I could open my eyes just a little bit. And I have not been an old Pentecost. I was an old hippolost, you know. And so I don't know where I picked it up in, but, you know, I just felt like I couldn't. And so I felt like, well, I'm afraid to hit somebody, you know. But so anyway, that's what I did, and I felt good. I felt like I had tried, you know, and moved out and so on. Well, it was at a lunchtime, Earl Failor and Earl Thurner began to share something with me about feeling free and uncondemned before the Lord and just feeling, you know, brother, someone can walk up to you and say, you're doing all right. You know, you're doing all right. And I just felt to just sit back and listen. I told them later, I felt like they were leading me to the Lord. It's because I just felt not to say anything, but just to listen. And I just felt like I was sitting there going, like I've seen many, you know, that are about to get saved. Yeah, I'm going to do that. You know, I'm going to do that. And I sat there and said, yep, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Then that sweet, precious brother, I love him so much, Earl Failor. He grabbed me, I think it was Tuesday evening, that marvelous Tuesday evening, and he grabbed me and said, we've got a space for you over here to get prayed for. And so I went with him, and always have felt real close to Earl. I've loved him so much. He's been an outreach leader to me for years and just felt real comfortable. So we laid down and began to pray, and the Spirit of the Lord began to break things, and I really felt just a need to have Earl there and just, you know, never felt that, but I just felt a real bond, and he just began to pray and felt like I was getting free, but then it kind of stopped. And I'm making a long story short. And then a sister, Judy Graham, came over. And all I could sense is somebody was praying. And I knew I wasn't completely free from certain things. And I just said, Lord, this girl's got it. I don't know who it is. I had my glasses off and I could barely see. But I said, she's got it. And I said, come on in, you know. And she began to just, I felt like there were spirits. And have been, I'll just share this, spirits around me at elders' retreats that I don't know have caused people to feel intimidated to pray for me or just sometimes have kept the block there. And I just felt like this girl, she's braving through. She doesn't even know what's there. Or I, you know, she's just going through. And I just thought, this is it, Lord, you know. And I really have felt that at different times. But she's just like, Lord, this one's not afraid. That's what I could sense. I said, Lord, she's not afraid. She's just going right in. And I just received, and she just knelt down and whispered in my ear and said, Nikki, there are angels here just to take some spirits away that have been bothering you for years. And so I thought, I'm willing. Here I go, you know. And it was this thing with dancing, feeling free. You know, my wife was just encouraging me, you know, to be free, and I'd share what happened with me the other night. And I got up, and I just wanted to start dancing. And then someone grabbed me and started talking to me, and it was really good, and they fed my mind with some more truth. And then we just went off to the side, my wife and I just kind of found her there, and she was just dancing so free before the Lord. And I had never seen her dance like that in my whole entire life. Never moved like that before. And I knew the Lord gave her a dancing angel. I never saw her move like that. And she was worshiping the Lord, and that's when I just felt, Lord, there's no one here. We have a nice, big, large area. That's another thing. I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm a pastor, because I'm going to reserve myself a nice, large area. You know, there's some blessings, you know. But anyway, there was a nice large area, and I just felt like I could be free. I didn't have to worry about anybody. And so I just began to dance before the Lord. And then the Lord just impressed upon my heart just to grab her hand. And I'd never done that in the old life. And like I said, I never danced. And I grabbed her hand, and we began worshiping the Lord and just praising him and just loving him and just giving him all our love together. And I felt like it vented every praise, every hidden love that we had ever had in our hearts for everything that the Lord had ever done for us. And he has done mighty things for us. I said, I've known her for many, many years, and we've gone through so many things. And I just felt like we were praising the Lord for our children. We were praising the Lord for our salvation. We were praising the Lord for all the times he's healed us. You know, and I've wanted to, and we have in words, but I felt like now we're really getting it out. And God did something in our hearts at that time. And I'm going to just throw this in real quickly, preface this with this, before I share about a release that I had. The Lord gave me a vision many, many months ago. In fact, I think it's been about a year and a half ago, about fighting five demons in a field alone with just a sword. And when I first saw them, I couldn't imagine how to do it. Well, I'm not going to go through all the specifics of it, but there was one time when two demons split. One went in front of me, one went behind me, and I knew I didn't have to worry about this one for some reason, but this one in front of me, I had to deal with. But he wouldn't come close. He was very, very far away. And so I took this sword, you know, I was trying to imagine in my mind maybe a laser beam or something will shoot out of it, you know, and trying to conjure, how am I going to get him over here? He wouldn't come, no matter what I did. And this was over a year and a half ago. And I saw myself in this vision, put my helmet down on the ground, put my sword down and armor down, and begin to dance just freely before the Lord. And I couldn't, you know, my mind just, I couldn't relate to it. But what happened was this demon got so mad. He just, you know, it's just like the one thing he hadn't planned on, that I would just relax and forget about him, because I was just, you know, worried about him. But he came over, as soon as he came over, like that, he went down. And, you know, I've always wondered about the fulfillment of that. I've just tried to keep that in my mind, you know, Lord, and I thought it was fulfilled at times, but now I know it was fulfilled. And as the Lord began to dance, my wife and I, you know, there are things, we've had a good marriage. And like I said, you know, we were unsaved together, and there's a lot of things. I cannot boast that when we started, we had the best marriage. We've always loved one another, but God has done something over the 12 years. He would not recognize us and our life and our home. We've always had a good home. We first got saved, you know, there's a lot of problems, but God has done so much for us. I wish I could boast it started out, you know, right up at high level, but it didn't. But God has just done a miracle. I can't relate to her. I feel like she's a new girl, and I know she feels like I'm a new man. And just God has just done so many wonderful things. But when we began to dance, it began to break down spirits that we had known about for so long, and they just broke. And we have just known an absolute, total difference, seen one, in our relationship one with another. And it's just been absolutely precious. We feel so close. We feel like a lot of insecurities and a lot of things that were just, you know, kind of binding us at times that we were walking over. I don't want to get me wrong. You know, there were big, huge problems there. But there were things that we knew we needed to deal with, and we were, you know, going against them. But the Lord just did something right then, something that we could not have done, and we've rebuked and so on. But something happened. And so that was a marvelous night. We just danced before the Lord and danced and danced and danced and danced and danced. And that's where I got my sore legs from. But then the next morning, we began to sing. It was just a beautiful song in the spirit of the love of God. And I want to just preface this. You know, I never have gotten ministered to at this elder retreat like I got ministered to by the brethren in Seattle to me this time. I really mean that, and I'm thankful for that. I felt like I got, I mean, people continually coming up and laying hands on me and praying for me just at different times. It really did something to me, you know, and it really just really ministered to my heart. But I began to pray for an elder's wife in our church, and, you know, for a little bit, and that just, you know, I did it for a while, and just felt to go sit down and worship the Lord next to my wife, I guess she came up later, but we just began to worship and just praise the Lord, just felt comfortable. And then sweet Danny O'Brien just came, I don't know if he's here this morning, but came and just started to pray, and he began to sing, "We love you, Nick, we love you, Nick," and just began to sing this. And then Lynn Brown came behind me, I didn't know who it was, and I could just feel these hands, you know, you feel hands weeping on your back, you know. He was just weeping, and then he came to the front of me, put his hands right here, and he just began to just weep and weep and weep. Now, as they were doing that, I wanted so desperately to receive their love. I wanted to so badly, but I mean, I just felt there was something here that was just blocking it. And I wanted to so desperately just receive it. I felt like there was just something in the way. And so they kept praying and praying, and I so wanted to, you know, I didn't want to be a rock for them, you know, and they're weeping and they're touched, you know, but I just felt to love them, but I just felt like, Lord, you know, I want to receive what they're, you know, trying to impart, but there was something there. And then sweet, and I keep saying sweet because they all are, Judy Rao came, and I didn't know who it was, and began to sing behind me. And as Danny O'Brien said later, her voice was just a bit above the supernatural, or above the natural. It was just so angelic, and she just began to sing, and it was just something I needed. God just really united. We've known Judy for years, but God just united us in the spirit just tremendously. In fact, later on, I said to her, I said, "Judy," I got up, and there were just tears in my eyes, and I just looked at her, and I said, "I love you. I've never told you that before." And my mind just kind of reeled. I thought, no, my mind, I've known her for years, and I've told her those words. But my mind could not equate to what I just said. I'm not sure exactly why, but I think a little bit of it was is I've never felt the holy love of God for her like I felt. Because it's the only thing I can really interpret that, because I said, I've never told you that before. And I meant it. I felt like I never had. But then my mind went, yes, you have. And I knew I could just bring up different times where I had. But I felt it was that I had loved her with the holy love of God. And just with the love of God upon me like that. Anyway, we as they began to pray, Judy came. It just began to break something. And I began to weep and weep and weep and weep and weep. And I trust my wife will get up later on maybe and just share what happened with her. But the Lord just came and just, it was together. I felt so special in everyone's eyes. You couldn't have told me that in a million years. You know what I mean? I could have heard it. You could have said it. But I felt special in the eyes of this group of people. It really touched me. It just broke something inside. And like I said, you could have told me, people could have sent me notes, letters, and so on. But as that song, as she began to pray in the love of God, I just thought, Lord, I am special in their eyes. I'm special in their eyes. And just felt just a holy, new love for Jesus and his people, and my wife most of all. I could just sum up this elders' retreat with these words. This was the best, without a doubt, elders' retreat I've ever been on. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Just a couple of things. My daughter's getting up. I appreciate, love, Nikki, I love you, brother. I appreciated that testimony so very much. It's time for the parents to get the children. I think I'm going to wait to say a few things I want to say to my daughter testifies. Go right ahead. Everyone hold her up.
I believe this is the most glorious and spiritually significant retreat we have ever attended. In every single session, we felt the presence of God so greatly upon our lives. And I'd just like to share three things that the Lord did for me at this retreat. At one of the sessions, my husband was ministering to me, and as the Spirit of the Lord came down and anointed him, he began to sing in English the spiritual vision that God had given him some months ago for his life. And he began to sing verse after verse after verse in English of the spiritual vision and his goal and what the Lord was doing in his life and where God was taking him. And the image that was used was climbing a mountain, and there were a lot of personal details in it. And he interwove this with Old Testament scripture. And he sang and sang and sang for an hour to me. And the Spirit of God just came down and blessed me. And it made me a part of this vision. And he sang my part in the vision with him. And my part in his spiritual goal with him. And how we would be going together and working together. And as he did this, the Lord delivered me of something. And it was the pain of being left out. And I know that this came into my life when I was in junior high school, experiencing the pain of being left out as a Christian attending a worldly junior high and high school. Of course, a Christian has to be left out of a lot of things in a worldly school. But this Spirit made me feel left out in areas where I shouldn't have been left out in, and gave me great pain in that. And that pain of being left out, just completely left, as he sang that to me, and we were just so knitted and fit together in God's plan for our lives. And the next day in the afternoon session, we were sitting there praying, and there was a lot of deliverance going on in different parts of the room, and there were music, songs coming forth in the Spirit from the piano and some intercessors. And the Spirit of the Lord came down upon me so mightily. And the scripture of Hosea 2:20 just exploded in my heart and in my mind. And the Lord just made that a real, living, deep reality in my life. I will betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And the Lord came down in that session and just betrothed me unto him in faithfulness, and gave me the promise that one day I would go to heaven and I would know the Lord. Now, of course, this happened at salvation, but such a deep spiritual work was done in this time, something much deeper and more spiritually significant. And the phrase that was especially significant at that time was in faithfulness. And the Lord and I made a commitment to one another where God just wrapped me in his faithfulness and promised me his faithfulness. He said, you are betrothed unto me in faithfulness, and I will always be faithful to you. And of course, the reality of God's everlasting faithfulness, and of course God would always be faithful, just really hit me and impacted me, and I in turn committed myself and my faithfulness unto the Lord. And it was just wonderful. And I just had to get up and express Hosea 2:20 and dance before the Lord, and I just call it my Hosea 2:20 dance. I was just in the garden, engagement garden of the Lord, dancing our commitment and the joy of being betrothed unto the Lord in faithfulness and the joy of the promise of knowing the Lord in his fullness. And what that experience did in my life was it wrapped me so much in the faithfulness and security of the Lord that it caused me to transfer my security from my husband to the Lord. And I feel like I'm no longer so clingy to him for security, but it's just wrapped in faithfulness to the Lord. And I have prayed that many times, that my security was in the Lord, and I give him to the Lord, and give my love of him to the Lord. And I prayed that many times, but because of Hosea 2:20 and God's Spirit coming down upon me, he just did that in that session. And, oh, I forgot to tell you something. The day before, right after my husband was singing this song to me about climbing the mountain and the spiritual vision, my mother came over and ministered to us, and she saw a very detailed personal vision that involved me. But a couple of the highlights were that Jesus Christ himself was going to come to me and do spiritual surgery upon me, and that he was sending two angels and giving them scrolls of instructions to take care of me after the surgery. And we saw that come to pass then the next day. And in that last evening session, the Lord did a real spiritual work between the married couples at the retreat. And my husband and I went right in the middle of the music, and one of the intercessors, Mary Ellen, came over to minister to us, and she just sang to us. And the Spirit of God came down, and it soon became evident that she was an angel just reading a script from the Lord. And she just sang verse after verse after verse after verse in English to us for 2 hours, all the verses different. And it was detailed and specific and personal to us. And I'll just tell you something to let you know how personally the Lord deals with us. But in order for a song to minister to me in a deep way, the words have to be real spiritually significant, and it needs to be poetic. It doesn't necessarily have to rhyme, but it needs to have some poetic qualities. And this song did that. It was spiritually significant, and it was a poetic song. And I just say that because the Lord knows how to deal with us personally. And in the first part of the song, she sang our love for the Lord and the Lord's love for us and our family, and Ryan and Wendy were in the song, and it just broke me, and we wept. I think we both wept and sobbed and sobbed and wept and sobbed through the entire song for 2 whole hours. And then the next, and we have not known Mary Ellen personally, and we've known her, but we haven't gotten together and talked or had close fellowship with her, and so she hasn't known any details about our life at all, and we haven't shared personal things with anyone, and she just sang and sang and sang all kinds of personal things to us, and I just know it was an angel of the Lord just reading this script, and she sang my husband's love for me, and it was just his heart opened up, the Lord expressing it to me, and she just sang details and commitment and of his love for me, and I just felt like he was giving me his spiritual wedding vows. And I just wept and wept. And then she sang my response to him and my love and my commitment and my response to him. And the Lord just united us together. And it was verse after verse after verse. And I just consider that to be my new spiritual wedding song. It was just wonderful. And this must have lasted for about an hour. And then she stopped singing and she said, the Lord is just impressed upon my heart an area of deliverance that I would just like to sing the Spirit away, and I just wanted to ask you if this bears witness. And she said, the Spirit is spirit of insecurity. And I said, I could hardly talk. I was crying so much. And so she sang a verse of this spirit just fleeing away. And after about three lines of the song, I felt it leave. And this is the only deliverance I've ever had in which I felt the spirit and felt it leave. And all my deliverances, I could only tell that they were real by seeing my life and the change afterwards. But I felt something in my heart and go right out just like that as she sang. And as soon as I felt that leave, she started singing the result of being free from insecurity. And it was just wonderful. And then after that section, she sang about the spiritual vision that God had given my husband some months ago and used the image of climbing the mountain. And, you know, nobody knew that. And she sang my part in the vision with him. And she sang what the Lord was going to do spiritually in our lives as a result of that. And it was just wonderful. I just felt so loved and cared for by the Lord and so ministered to. I just am overwhelmed with thankfulness to Jesus and love to Jesus for what he has done.
Now this girl's husband is next, but her father's first. I'll try to say this, Carolyn, in iambic pentameter. I twisted that, but I love my daughter with all my heart. And I am so thrilled with what God is doing, has done in her. This girl is a very precious daughter to me. She's been such a delight. She's been my life growing up. She's been so important to me. I've loved her with all my heart, and I still do, of course. And this girl, you know, she's one of these people that would never hurt anybody. I mean, she's so careful. She's never one to, you know, she's so sensitive to what to say about people, and she's kind of delicate in that way, and tender in her own heart, and she's very careful. She won't do that, and she's always been so articulate and charming. She's always had a lot of wisdom. She never went through that giddy, silly teenage stage like a lot of children. She possessed at those teenage years of wisdom because of the teaching, the training that you could see the other children didn't have. And she's got good balance, and the devil has attacked my daughter, and I hate him. And I'm thrilled at what the Lord is doing in her. I want to make two statements. One is that husband and wife dancing together as the Spirit of the Lord is on them. I don't mean just cold, dead, taking hands and doing something. But I mean actually, you know, actually dancing before the Lord together with your heart open to one another as the Lord has set you free to dance. You know, once that you're free to do this and you're doing this, it would help you to pray together if you're not praying together. Sometimes because of certain hurts and husbands and wives have kind of withdrawn to a place where they don't seem to be free to pray together as like they should. And if you're in that position, I really believe that as God sets you free to begin dancing before him and your wife too, if you begin doing this together, you are doing together something that will make it easier for you to pray together. It will unite your hearts together in a more full way. I really feel that. Does anybody here equate with that? I really feel that's true. And another thing I want to say is, Nikki got up and said, you know, I just felt special in everybody's eyes. We've heard a number of people say, I really feel that you love me. I feel loved by you and so forth. Now, this has been said many, many times. But it wasn't said before. It's being said now that God is doing certain delivering works. And I believe that there's more truth to this than what the average person in the pew perceives. And what I mean by that is this. I don't believe that... See, some of you, myself, don't say, well, I don't know, I don't feel that love for them. Yet they say, I feel love from all of you. I feel that there is a love that is being blocked. A love not only from to the spouse and to the parent,
and to the child, but also brother to sister. And that the devil has tricked you to think that you don't really love the Lord like you really do. And you don't really love your spouse like you really do. And so forth. And I think that when the Lord reveals to them that there is a love in your heart for them, that they're feeling a love that you have that you're not maybe even aware of yet. Because it's been blocked and you have not been in your soulical mind willing to open up and really admit, yes, I am willing to admit and I do, I love that person, I will reach out and open up and love them. Inside, there is a love that in the spirit. But because the soulical mind hasn't opened up and the soulical mind doesn't feel a soulical love, he thinks, oh, I don't know if I've got that kind of love or not. Well, your soulical man maybe has not developed that kind of love. But the spiritual man has a connection in the spirit in which there is a spiritual love that the soulical man is not yet aware of. And I believe that the Lord is letting them feel that spiritual love, that unity in the spirit they have with you, which is a spiritual love that you're not even aware of, some of you. And so that they've got more revelation on it than you do. You know what I mean? And that when the Lord reveals it to them. And I believe that the Lord will also begin to reveal that there has been a love for one another in the spouse that is greater than we've ever recognized. You know the old story, well, this girl has fallen in love with this guy, and then he has he's done something to hurt her, really hurt her. Maybe he's went off with some other gal or something, or did something, something. And she comes and she pounds on his chest, you know, and says, I hate you, 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 I love you, I love you, you know what I mean? What's she doing? In other words, because it hurts, she feels, I hate you. But down underneath, she loves him. The reason she's so hurt is because she loves him so much. The reason she's allowed this hatred to come, she feels this hate, is because she loves him so much. See, there's a confusion sometimes in the person doesn't even know themselves. And sometimes as they continue, they'll end up, after saying, I hate you, they'll say, I love you. And see, the devil has beguiled our minds, and sometimes between spouses, the same kind of thing has happened is, well, I'm upset at that person, and well, that's where they're going to be, and there's a withdrawing and so forth. There's a deep hurt because you love them. And so the person doesn't know, realize how much they love them, and they walk around, you know, not talking to each other, not feeling, you know, well, I don't care. Go ahead and leave me if you want. Well, I don't care. Well, I'll just soon leave. But then go ahead and leave. I don't care. Well, I don't care either. They love each other so much, they'd hate it if they ever did it. But see, we've allowed the devil to come in and stifle the love that's there and trick us until we don't think we've got what we've got. And that emotion, other emotion, is blocking what is really and truly there. And there's a lot of love for each other in Jesus that has not been really fully realized, let alone expressed. And God has come to set his people free.
Thankful that the Lord is all that he says that he is. And he is faithful. And if you believe him to be what he is, he'll be that to you. I went to this retreat under real demonic attack. And the last few years, the Lord has been so good to me. In the last 6 months, I've had such a hunger for God, I could hardly walk on this planet. And the last week, and I was looking forward to this retreat, I knew God would do good things, and I told my wife, when we go to that retreat, we're going to pray for these satellite pastors. I mean, God is going to really do something. I felt stirred to pray for people. Went to this retreat, spent the whole time praying for her, and that's what the Lord wanted to do. And that's where my heart was, and that was it. That was the retreat, as far as I was concerned. But I was under demonic attack for about a week before the retreat, and one area I'm very familiar with, but the other area I felt like I'd been totally humiliated before some people that I love and respect. And so I was battling these two demonic fronts, and it's incredible what the devil can really put pressure on you. I could hardly sleep or eat. And I am so thankful that I have a wonderful relationship with the Lord. He is so good to me. I have a consciousness of his presence all the time. I don't feel His presence all the time, but I have a consciousness of His presence. And I said, Lord, I am under demonic attack. This is incredible. I am under such demonic attack. But You and I are just going to find out what kind of man I am. And you see, I stopped living for my own pleasure a long time ago. It doesn't really matter. And the only thing I live for is to walk before Him and be perfect. And it isn't so much what happens to you, it's how you handle what happens to you. That's all I care about. My goal is becoming, not necessarily funsy, times in this life. And I know that the most critical time in the process of becoming is when you're under demonic attack. Because that's the time to find out where you are and what you are. And if you can handle it or not. And I've learned how to hold on to God's Word. And so in this trial, and sometimes, you know, I couldn't even think of a scripture. I must know hundreds of them. So I just went into my study, opened my Bible, and I read one, and I thought, this is a good one. So I just concentrated on that scripture. And one particular one that I felt like this is a good one, walk before me and be perfect. That's a good one for me right now. I'll just think on that one. And when everything inside of you and every emotion is contrary, it's like your mind has to tell you, pick up fork, put fork in food, put food in mouth, chew, swallow, take drink. And you just, you forget your emotions. They are not going to help you. You forget the lies that are coming in. They are not going to help you. Now, I did this for the time before the retreat, and the devil did not leave me. The lies did not leave me. The negative emotion did not leave me. However, it kept things from getting worse. It kept me from believing the lies. That could have been really bad. And it kept me busy. You know, you need to be busy fighting. A lot of people have not recognized that you've got to put up an offensive front against the attack of the devil. You can't just go around moaning and bemoaning into self-pity. You've got to fight. Now, I fought, but nothing happened. And I went to the first meeting. I wasn't worried about it. And I was praying. We were praying for about 15 or 20 minutes, and I just thought, I know that nothing is going to happen to me if I keep in this mode. What I need is for Paula McKenzie to start singing in tongues. That's what I need. And I don't even know why I thought of her, but she'd been singing at the Intercessors Retreat, and it was so wonderful, so ministered to me. And in about 5 minutes, she did. And I stood up, and I started singing in the Spirit, and that is such a blessing, such a blessing. And singing really ministers to me, because when you get into the singing and the music, it unlocks my emotions. And I start singing the Bible, and all those promises become more than intellectual. They become more than just words. They start to impact me. And I was singing in the book of Exodus, all the story and what God had done. And I came to the words, I know He'll do it for me because He loves me. And then I'd sing something else, and then I'd sing that. And every time I sang that, the Spirit of God was coming down heavier, heavier, and heavier. Finally, I was only singing that. That's all I needed. I know He'll do it for me because He loves me. That's all I sang. I sang that. They changed songs. I was still singing that to the old tune. And then they changed songs again. I was still singing that to the old tune. I was singing it at lunch to the old tune. I appreciate that. I know the Lord has, you know, really ministered to me through singing in the Spirit. I've taught classes where I could hear singing in tongues going on in my mind the whole time. I'm teaching away. I can hear Him sing. I felt like joining in. But, you know, the class wouldn't appreciate it. So I just thanked the Lord, and that ministered to me. But you see, when I was singing that, hopelessness and this thing was moving out. And despair, and this isn't going to happen, and it's never going to be any different. It is going to be different. The next meeting, we sang this deep worship love song that really ministered to me. I mean, that, if there ever was a song that ministered to me, it was that one. And I was singing this and singing away and this and that, and I sang this song. Let the man that you have made sing glory. Let him give to the God who loves him so. You are Yahweh, so Yahweh, you are Yahweh to me. You are all that you say that you are. And then I sang, you have been all that you said you'd be. And then I sang, you will be all that you said you would be. And when I locked onto that tune, that's all I sang. And all this negative left me right then. As I kept singing that for about an hour, everything left. And I felt faith, I felt victory, And those are the first two meetings, you see. That was important to get me in out of a certain mode. And I think I prayed for my wife then. Oh, she was sitting right next to me. And I was singing this whole thing. She didn't hear a word of it. I said, oh, you would have been ministered to, I promise you. I was. Didn't hear one word. But the Lord was doing something good in her, so that was good. And I didn't have a lot of people praying for me at this retreat. The Lord just ministered to me. I just locked onto Him. And I know how to lock onto Him. And I have been separate from this body. I've just walked by myself with the Lord. I don't need anybody to pray for me. I walk with the Lord. And consequently, I haven't been open and received a whole lot. And I haven't given a whole lot. But in the last year or so, some people broke into my little shell with their love and opened me up like a can. And I have felt love from people ministering to me, and I've said, boy, I'm not going to be without this anymore. I'm going to let them pray for me. This is wonderful. And consequently, I've been able to give it out. God was doing something in this meeting. There are 11 meetings. The last one, we heard from the pastor perspectives and her testimonies. But in those other 10 meetings, I mean, every meeting was vital as far as I was concerned, as far as my wife was concerned, concerning the next meeting and the next meeting. I mean, this thing was so orchestrated that I was in total, I was just marveling at the hand of the Lord. I mean, if we would have missed this meeting here, we would have never got to where we got in this meeting here. Because this thing was a progression. And my wife being able to receive that from the Lord and be able to dance, that would have never happened if she hadn't felt secure in this other area, in that prayer meeting there. And there had been deliverance before that when I prayed for her that she didn't mention. And those things had to come. It had to be the right time. And Barbara coming over ministering to us, that couldn't have happened if I hadn't gotten through with this other thing. And that couldn't have happened if I hadn't been ministered to by the Lord so I could, you know, see in real faith what God was doing. And I just saw the hand of the Lord move. This is the best retreat I've ever been on. I cried in the first 10 meetings. Every one. I laughed in half of them. And my wife, every time I touched her, she started crying. And and she's always been able to receive from me, see? But this was something special, and I know the Lord is giving me things. And it's like, and I didn't even see necessarily how this was all fitting together, but boy, hindsight. I'd think, oh, that was important. Oh, that was so important. It amazed me what God was able to do. And there's one area that was so critical that I know the Lord did. And we've had a good marriage, but we've had one problem. And that is, we haven't been one in the Spirit. We just haven't been one in the Spirit. We've been one in the natural. We get along great. But in the Spirit, and that has been the source of demonic attack. And she has felt like I'm going off somewhere and leaving her behind, and the devil hasn't helped that little thing any. And I've been fighting these demons, and you know, I know that the devil has come to ruin me. And I learned this years ago. You may think I'm a fanatic, but I have gotten out of bed. This is the honest truth. I've gotten out of bed and I've said, it's the first thing that I said, I want all you demons to know, I'm putting you on record today, you are out of it. Today I'm going to whip you so bad, you aren't getting anywhere with me today. I am putting you on notice, you are utterly defeated in the name of the Lord. That's the first thing I said getting out of bed. And I went, just like that. Now, I don't believe in provoking the devil, but when he is provoking you, it's time to say, devil, listen to this. This is the first word you're getting from me in the morning. I did that more than once. I'm not going to submit, moan and bemoan and groan. I'm going to fight him. And I fought him, and I haven't even known what I was fighting half the time. But I can see that God has given us a oneness in the Spirit, and I'm going to really be jealous of this thing. And everything the Lord has ever done in any of these retreats for me, He's always done some really good things. I have been able to keep and implement in my life. Every one of them. Every one of them. And I know it's going to be the same with this. But the devil has done everything to try to keep us separated, and there's been a ton of circumstantial evidence to make it look like we are. But I know the Lord has done some things that are going to enable us to do that. And I just want to mention one more thing about when Mary Ellen came to pray for us. She was really the first person that came, and I felt like I know exactly what's going to minister to me. We are moving our whole little group here and our chairs over to the middle under the speaker, right in front of these singers, and that's where we're going to be ministered to. And she sang the most incredible things. I couldn't believe. She sang almost everything that happened in the retreat and what it was leading to and all this. And I was sitting there. A spirit of thanksgiving came on me about halfway through. For 45 minutes, all I could do between blubbering was say, "Thank you, Jesus." That is all I could say. I've experienced that one other time in my life. A spirit of thanksgiving. I was so thankful because this is it's like we were at the end of what God had done, and all the pieces were there, and the whole puzzle was together. I appreciate her for yielding to the Lord. She did not know what she was singing. Let me tell you that. She had no idea what she was singing, but what she was singing was right from the Lord. It was right from the Lord.
I really appreciate this. Son of mine, his son-in-law. You get a backbone of steel, and that's really, see that determination has really carried him through. And that's what we really need to do is, that's one of the things that's hindering, the lack of that is what's causing so many people to get whipped by the devil. Is they won't rise up and say, "Now this is it, and this is what I'm going to do, and that's it." That commitment is so vital. And it's the thing that will whip the devil. This is a spiritual battle we're in. We really need to go to war. But this business of, "Oh, I don't know if I can make it." Well, I don't get the devil mad at me because, he's already kind of mad. And I don't know. I'm afraid maybe if I go, maybe I won't really be able to. See, this kind of unbelief and stuff, and all this passiveness. Well, I'll try. This is what allows the devil to go on and beat you and whip 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 you. But when you rise up and say, "Enough! You took me too long. Now I'm on the offensive. I'm unto you, devil. I have power in Jesus' name. I don't have to put up with you. I don't have to let you do that to me any longer. I take authority God has given me." No, you can't do abracadabras in this thing. It's not. Now, in the name of Jesus, this isn't Hail Mary, Mother full of grace. You can't go through all that kind of stuff. You have got to stand there knowing who God is and who you are and say, "I know in that name above every name, that name Jesus, that he's given me a power of attorney to use. I come now, for the scripture says, whatsoever you ask in my name in faith, believing it shall be. And if you have faith and you say to that mountain, 'Be ye removed and cast in the sea,' it shall be done. And I come to you now, you mountain of demon, in the name of Jesus, be cast into the sea. Get out of sight. I will not allow you this anymore in my life." The Bible says, when you rebuke the devil, he will flee from you. And now I'm rebuking you. Now you flee. You get out of here. I'm not putting up with you any longer. I've had to do those battles at nighttime and places. And I have found over and over again that works. You may have to fight a little bit, but it works. He'll test you to see whether you really believe it, but if you hold on and believe it, it'll work. You have to decide that you believe it. Because the devil, God will let you, he'll test you a little bit, and you'll tell the devil everything in the book, and then the devil will still stay right there. And now comes the trial. Now you're right at where you can give him the old Sunday punch, or you're going to be floored. All of a sudden you come to the dividing of the ways, and this will tell the tale as what you do next. And then can your mind will flood. Well, I guess he won't leave. I did everything I can do. I guess I can't do it. And when you say that, he's delivered to you the knockout punch. But in that moment, if you'll say, "Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This is my privilege. And you have promised. And I am holding you to your word." Because, and that's not presumptuous. Because you delight to have your children hold you to your word. You delight to have that kind of faith in the immutable word of God and in the holy covenant promise of our sovereign God. So I'm holding you to it, Lord. You're going to do this because you said you would. And the Lord and the angels are saying, "Pray." And the angels up there are saying, "That's the way to go. That's the way to go. Swear by the oath of the name of God that he will do it, and he will do it." Rise up in faith. Oh, Son of Man, that will do it. And when you say, you're not getting this from me, devil, you're God, defeated. He then is defeated. Now, you know, I've got to say, you know, I looked over at Judy when my daughter was testifying, and she was weeping. And I love that girl. But that love came up in my heart and just burst. Because her love for my daughter, loving her so much that she weeps because of what the Lord is doing in her. See, that's the kind of love we need for each other. That's the kind of love. And this is so wonderful. This love is really building and something is really happening. One of the intercessors said to me at the elders' retreat, this kind of characterizes these elders' retreats we've had. They've been real retreats. I mean, they have been, God has really done something there. And she said, it is so good to be in a really spiritual, mature retreat. Look at this retreat. I mean, you can see a maturity and something here that she hasn't seen before when she was at retreats. I'm going to tell you something. For my peeking into different retreats, you know what the failing is there? I mean, there's been a lot of wonderful things happening. But you know what the weakness is? At the elders' retreats, it's a lot more involvement. We all move in and we get together with it and we keep it going. And that's the one thing that's the one thing that I've seen that's bothered me as I have looked in some other retreats is there's too much passivity, too much freedom to lay around and rest or talk and watch instead of getting in and plowing and keeping the field plowed up, getting in there and really doing better, getting in there and really beginning to keep it going. And if you want successful retreats, you don't lay back. You move in and carry it to the gates of heaven. You know, I've watched Lanny over the years. I've watched him go from a Lutheran, you know, to a Luther Costal, you know, to maybe a Chapel Costal, and you know, and a Luther Costal, and then a Chapel Costal, and then a Bible Costal, and then pretty soon he became a Pentecostal, and now he's a Holy Costal, and he's changing. He is really changing. I have been watching him change, and I've been thrilled with the change lately, and that's because he has determined, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. And he's had to go through some dry Luther Costal wildernesses to move on up. You know, he didn't have the same kind of a background, you know, that maybe made him feel the same way. But the Lord has been building something, and something's been happening. And each one of us need to open up and plow on through and let the Lord do that. One more thing. It was mentioned the progression of meetings at the retreat that was necessary. Well, you know, that same thing is true in church services. Something happens at a particular meeting where God is moving and the testimonies and things that happen. If you miss that, and you didn't pop in the next one, but you have missed something to build to that one. Now, here's what I appreciate the fact that you love the Lord and care about what's happening so much that you're charging out, you know, I think the number's about 600 or plus tapes a week. There's a lot of tapes being charged out here, maybe not more than that. But, you know, you can't get everything on tape. Let me tell you why you can't get everything on tape. Because, say, Sunday morning, now sometimes you can't be here. Well, all you can do is all you can do. That's true. I don't want to make you feel bad. But you cannot just say, the tape is as good as the service. Because in the service, the Holy Spirit is here. And he's moving on people's hearts to do a certain thing in preparation for something. And in preparation for the altar call afterwards. In preparation for certain things. That time you listen to that a week later, after the evening service that you came to, before you listen to the preparation for that, the same thing hasn't built up in the same sequence for the same thing. You don't have Sunday night what those who are here Sunday morning have needed for Sunday night. And so don't get this idea that, oh, I'll just pick up and tape. I don't have to come. We really need to be in the house of the Lord when God is doing what he's doing. And if we miss it when we can be here, you're really robbing yourself of something more than you really realize that you are. And the same thing is happening with everything else that's happening, whether it's prayer and deliverance and dance and so forth. See, if you miss some deliverance, you may not be able to dance in the Spirit. If you miss certain things, you may not be doing other things. We need to be involved in all the things that the Lord is doing, because they're all parts of the necessary diet. You just can't have just one thing on your plate. And some of you are like little children, not very many of you are this way, but a few are like little children that want to, I don't want any vegetables, I don't want any fruit, and I don't want any meat, I just want potatoes. See, you can't just have one thing. It's all from the Lord, you need it all, because all of it will add different dimensions to the spiritual life that you are receiving.
While this song goes forth, I'd like to have you just stand, because I feel like the Lord wants to put hope in the hearts of the marriages. This retreat was not just for the elders and their wives, but this retreat is for your marriage. And there's a hopelessness that the enemy has sent to try to discourage you from thinking that the hurts in your marriage are too great. But I want you to know that the worst marriage here can be a glory to God, because with God all things are possible. And the angels that were at the retreat are here. We did not send them back to heaven. We brought them home with us. And they want to minister to your hearts as this song goes forth. So I want every wife here to take heart. And I want every husband here to take heart. God is going to do for you what He's done for others. And so believe it in your heart and reach out. And let's defeat those demons of hopelessness. We love every one of you. Makes no difference to us how battered up you are and how scarred you are. Remember Friday night I mentioned how that poor debauched girl in such horrible state, my love went out to her. Well, if God's love can go out to her, then it can go out to you. And so no matter how many hurts you have, no matter how bruised you are, we're not looking at your bruises and your hurts. We're looking at the healing balm of Jesus to come down and touch every single marriage. Take hope, have heart. Jesus is going to do it for you. Amen.